Vaishnav calendar, it's the disappearance days of two great personalities, Srila Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit. So, Gauridas Pandit is actually Subal in Krishna's pastimes. But we're going to be speaking about Srila Rupa Goswami. So, we're going to be speaking about Srila Rupa Goswami today. And before we start the class, we chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas written by Narottama Das Thakur, Parshnagora Viraha Vilaka. Jayan Milo Prematana Kona Prajo
Sunday, make way of the love.
Jai Sandana Paya Kandeye Malcolm Hoda. His Divine Grace of Ayatana, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Gaudi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nama Acharya, Srila Gridas Thakur ki jai, Param Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Garaha, Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Gada Krishna Gaura Gada Sankhu Gada Gada Giri Gaura Gijaya Vrinda Vrinda Gijaya Chakra Gijaya Chakra Tasami Gijaya Yudhamai Gijaya Shiva Nagulasi Deva Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaura Gada Gada Deva. All glorious is in the devotees, all glorious is in the devotees, all glorious is in the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So we will read the translation of this prayer. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya Gan? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das weeps. So, Om Maganatha Mananda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Medika Yenatas Mai Shivali Maha. So, today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. And of course, we are known as Rupa Nugas. Because Srila Rupa Goswami, and we'll get to this point in a few minutes, wrote the law book for the Krishna conscious movement, which is what book?
Bhakti
Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada translated as Nectar of Devotion. And actually, I was thinking this afternoon with a Sunday program, I was going to do Chitra Kavachani, but I think it would be better if I give a summary of the Nectar Devotion and also a summary of the Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, because that'll be interesting for people. I don't offer a free narration of Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. Anybody wants it, give them the link how they can download it. Anyway, because we've done that several years ago. So anyway, because Rupa Goswami has actually set the standard for sadhana bhakti and raganuga bhakti and prema bhakti in our society. So sadhana bhakti is the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, and there's a hint of it. Of course, there's also raganuga bhakti there. And then the higher levels of bhakti are in what book? Does anyone remember? Ujjvala Nilamani. Probably no one should read when you're on a very high level. Ujjvala Nilamani. And it's written about Srila Rupa Goswami, we say this prayer every day. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Vidati Swah. That Rupa Goswami has understood the mission, the mind, Mano Bhishtam, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. I mean, his intention, his mind, his desires, all those things are contained within that particular statement. So therefore, he is the Acharya, main Acharya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so now we'll talk a little bit about Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami appeared in 1489. And his mother's name was Rivati Devi, and Kumara Devi was his father's name. And their parents, his parents, I'm talking about there, I'm referring to Sanatana Goswami too, and Anupama, had five sons and one daughter. And the three of the sons were considered pure devotees. That's Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Anupama. Anupama, of course, was a pure devotee of, anyone remember?
Lord Ram.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to dissuade him, Rupa Goswami, sorry, tried to dissuade him from just worshiping Ram. He says, okay, you can worship Ram, that's okay. But you should chant Hare Krishna. And he wasn't able to change his mind or change his consciousness. And then Rupa Goswami was pleased, Rupa Sanatana Goswami were pleased to see that, because that indicated his dedication to his worshipable deity, which is a very, very important point in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also tried to change Murari Gupta the same way, and that was really impossible, because that was Hanuman. Murari Gupta was the incarnation of Hanuman. So anyway, so you had these the pure devotees born, and originally, their family came from South India, although they were in Bengal when they were born. It was actually, nowadays it's East Bengal, which is known as Bangladesh. But they came from Karnataka in South India, and they were actually from a very, very high-class Brahminical family, Sarasvat Brahminical family. Very, very high-class. Although it appeared that it was considered that they had lost their caste for a reason which we're going to describe in a second. Because originally they had the name Amara and Santosh. That's Rupa and Sanatana, respectively. But they were given the names Dabir Kash and Shakara Malik by the Nawab Hussein Shah. And Dabirkas means private secretary, and Shakala Malik means revenue officer, or tax collector, like that. And because of that, it was considered that they had lost their caste. Now, try to understand, in those days, if you worked for malachas, I mean, meat eaters or low-class people, it was considered you lost your caste. Not only do you work for them, if a malacha came off you and sprinkled some water on you, then it was finished. You lost your caste. I mean, you couldn't enter the temple. You know, everything was finished. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? So, I wish we could make devotees in that way, to just sprinkle water on people and they lose their malacha caste. And there was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, I believe it was Subhuti Roy was the name, that a Muslim did that to him. And then he went to all the Brahmins, and they asked the Brahmins, what can I do to purify myself? And they said, well, you got to like drink molten lead or metal. That's the only way you can purify yourself. And then he was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just chant Hare Krishna. It's a lot easier. So it was considered that they had lost their caste. And they were working for the Nawab Hussein Shah. The reason they had worked for the Nawab Hussein Shah is because the Nawab Hussein Shah had basically forced them to work, because he had threatened all the Vaishnavas in that area. He said, if you do not work for me. You know, that's it. I'm going to create havoc amongst all these Vaishnavas. Kill all your villagers. And so they thought, we have to work for them. That's called conscription. It's like the draft. It's like during the Vietnam War years, many of my friends had to go and fight in Vietnam, even though they didn't want to fight in Vietnam, because they were drafted by the government. So they just resigned themselves to their fate. You know, we got to work for this rascal who was going around and amassing great riches and harassing people all over that part of India. And their father, Kumardev Dzogchi, always praying for them, please let them be liberated. And their father was a pure devotee, obviously. And so they eventually settled in a village known as Ramakeli. And in Ramakeli, which is in the Rajasahi district of northern Bengal, they constructed a replica of Vrindavan. So they would actually always feel at home. It was called Gupta Vrindavan, or Hidden Vrindavan. And in this replica, there were, just right here, there were bathing places and constant readings about the pastimes of the Lord. And in this way, they were able to assuage their consciousness and their minds and take shelter while they were doing their government duties. And as they performed their government duties, the two brothers studied, actually there were three of them, you know, Anupama was there too. They studied Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian, and of course, whatever the Hindi dialect was there at that particular time, and of course Bengal and other things like Bengali and other things. And they also studied Sanskrit under this great devotee known as Sarvananda Vidya Vachaspati, who was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The person that they learned Arabic and Persian from was Syed Farooq Jin, a scholar at that particular time. So, once when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, and this particular time he didn't make it to Vrindavan, this is in 1514, he stopped at Ramakeli on the way, because he actually wanted to meet Rupa Sanatana Goswami, who were his eternal associates, and enlist them in the mission. In his mission. So there were a lot of devotees with Lord Chaitanya at that time, even Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And they met Lord Nityananda first and Haridas Thakur first. And the three brothers took bunches of straw in their teeth and bowed down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And they offered this wonderful prayer to Lord Chaitanya. Here's the prayer in English. You are the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to your supreme personality. You belong to the lowest caste of men. And our associates and unemployment are of the lowest type. Therefore, we feel it strange to introduce ourselves to you. We are ashamed, for you are so pure. Dear Lord, let us assure you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Since you have specifically incarnated to deliver the fallen souls, please consider that there are none so fallen as the two of us, for we are worse than Jagai and Madai. Now, why do they consider themselves worse than Jagai and Madai? Does anyone know? Because they were working for the Malachas, where Jagai and Madai, I guess they were just working for their senses. Wow. Shows how bad association is. So at that point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you two brothers are my eternal servants. And from this day forward, your names will be, he gave them initiation immediately, Rupa and Sanatana. He said, now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble. And previously, they had written letters to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praising him and asking him for his mercy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that, I have come here specifically to meet with the two of you. Now, at this particular point, Rupa Sanatana Goswami tried to dissuade Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from proceeding to Vrindavan for two reasons. One is they're really afraid of the Nawab Hussain Shah. At that point, the Nawab Hussain Shah was a little bit respectful towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he had been informed by one of his advisors, who was a devotee, that, you know, Lord Chaitanya wasn't a problem for him. But Rupa Sanatana Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows, his mind may change and you'll be in danger. And this argument did not deter Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, or is, as described in the Gita, as a devotee, Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vivasthati. Lord Chaitanya didn't have any fear. I mean, he was going later on through the Jarakanda forest, and he was chanting with the tigers and the deer, and the, I guess they were bears at that time, maybe, or whatever. And they were all getting up and chanting along with him. So Lord Chaitanya had no fear. But they had another argument to dissuade Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from proceeding to Vrindavan. They said, you are going to Vrindavan with a large retinue. For those of you who don't know what retinue means, it's a group of people, a lot of people. There was like hundreds of people. He said, this is not the way to go to Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan, it has to be done with yourself, a small group. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on only went with two personalities when he went to Vrindavan. One of them was Balabhadra Bhattacharya, and then there was an assistant Brahman at that point. And so Lord Chaitanya was showing the real mood for entering Vrindavan, not just like thousands of devotees around. It's just because it's something very deep. Vrindavan is very deep. It's not like, for lack of a better word, sis boom ba, ra ra ra. You don't know what that means. A football game. Yeah, and you know, really. Anyway, at least that's my understanding. Because sometimes, you know, devotees get into this sis boom ba, you know, whatever. Because they don't use that expression. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya took that advice and decided not to go to Vrindavan at that point. He went back to Bengal. I went back to Puri, sorry. And then later on went there with only two personalities. So Lord Chaitanya had also given Anupama his name too. So he initiated the three of them. So later on, Rupa Goswami and Anupama were able to renounce this world and live as mendicants. And Rupa Goswami set a perfect example for someone who renounces this world. He gave 50% to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, 25% to his relatives, and 25% for personal emergencies. And of course, that 25% that was meant for personal emergencies was later on used by Sanatana Goswami, so Sanatana Goswami could escape. So this is very interesting. You know, sometimes people think that when you surrender to Krishna, or I give everything and leave nothing over for yourself. But actually, Rupa Goswami's example is that you actually have to take care of yourself and family when you renounce and put something aside. So this is interesting. So sometimes people join the Krishna consciousness movement and they're told by their authorities, you know, just give up everything. Give your 401k. You know what 401k is? No. It's the Provident Fund. Fiji Provident Fund. Give all your money and Krishna will take care of you. Because Krishna says, Jo Nichanam, Jainas Jaitananam, Eko Bhavanam Yogadadati Kama. What does that mean? Krishna's maintaining all living entities, or even as it says in the Bible that, what is it, the flowers dress nicely. They didn't have to go to Walmart to buy some dresses or something like that. It doesn't say Walmart in the Bible. The lilies in the field. I think it's the lilies in the field. Yeah, the lilies in the field dress nicely. So, really, there's five factors of action. five factors of action described in the Gita, and Krishna is one of the five factors. We have control of the other four. So we should make some arrangement so that, you know, later on, we're not just like chucked out of the temple like the bees are chucked out of the hive. You know the worker bees? They're actually, as soon as they can't fly anymore, they just, boom, you're out of here, buddy. Mm-hmm. Can't do any more work. So, not that we would do this to devotees, but it's practical. It's practical. You know, people should make some arrangements. So 25% personal and 25% to the relatives, just to make, and that's what Prabhupada did too. He took care of, even when he was getting ready to leave this planet, he left a certain stipend over for his wife and children that were still alive. So this is very important. A devotee should not be irresponsible. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he even, you know, went back to Bengal after he took sannyas, just had let his mother cook for him, because, you know, he considered some responsibility to his mother. So, anyway, Rupa Goswami and Anupama, they left. And actually, there was so much wealth when Rupa Goswami left. There was like there are boatloads of gold coins. So much wealth. Anyway, so then they traveled to Prayag, which is now known as Allahabad. It means the city of Allah. And they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once again there. And he instructed the two brothers for 10 days of Krishna Bhakti. And these 10 days were essential insofar as Rupa Goswami's teachings, like on the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Adagna Madhava, Lita Madhava, and Ushalini Lamani. And when they approached Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami wrote this prayer that he recited to Lord Chaitanya, which is the famous prayer, Namo Mahabhagnaya Krishna Prema Vadayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Senama, which is, O most beneficent incarnation of Krishna. Your Krishna himself appearing as Lord Chaitanya, you've assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are freely distributing what no other incarnation of Godhead has ever distributed. Your love of God. So, anyway, so the whole Siddhanta Sambandha Videya Prayojan was presented to Rupa Goswami at this particular point. Actually, Rupa and Anupama at this particular point. Sambandha means the material energy, spiritual energy, the Lord, the time factor, the living entity, and the relationships between all of these different factors. I'm not going to go through the whole description. But Lord Chaitanya at that time also gave Rupa Goswami a particular metaphor to help him understand what devotional service was. And that metaphor was that devotional service is like cultivating a garden. In other words, when you have a garden, then the plants grow. And you have to keep watering the garden. You have to keep putting fertilizer in the garden. And you have to be very careful that what doesn't grow?
Weeds.
You know, because just like the material desires are sometimes called karma bij and jnana bij, means the seed of fruit of desire, the seed of desire for liberation or desire for just attaining knowledge. So he described this particular metaphor, and then he also gave another metaphor about achieving pure love of God. Does anyone know what that metaphor is? No. Creeper, that's the garden metaphor. But he gave another metaphor about what it means, or what the consciousness is like. No, you wouldn't remember this. He used the sugar analogy.
They're cooking the sugar.
Yeah, you're cooking the sugar. First comes the seed of the sugar cane, this is Lord Chaitanya's words. Then the sugarcane plant. From the plant, one can extract sweet juice of the sugarcane. When the juice is boiled, it becomes liquid molasses. Actually, more than liquid molasses. And when cooked more, it becomes solid. This solid becomes sugar. And finally, rock candy. In this way, sugar gradually develops from the crude state to one that is refined. Similarly, love of God evolves through carefully delineated stages, each one more concentrated than the other. It's a wonderful example Lord Chaitanya gave. And then he talked about the rasas and the indirect rasas, the direct rasas. I'm not going to go through the whole vector devotion right now. And then a rasa vas and pure devotional service and bhavas and all that other nice stuff. So Rupa Anupama did not want to leave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they accompanied him as far as Benares and then wanted to go with him to Puri. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you go to Vrindavan and then we'll meet with you in Puri later on. And on the way to Vrindavan, Anupama departed from this material world. And while he was going to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami first thought of writing a drama as a visible means to convey the pastimes of Krishna. And of course, this is both the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava. He was thinking of just like having them in one drama. So on the way to Vrindavan, he stopped in a place called Sacha Bama Pura. And there he had an evening, he had a dream, sorry, in which a beautiful woman appeared to him and asked him to write a separate play about her. That was Sacha Bama. Of course, Sacha Bama is an expansion of Radharani. And in the Lita Madhava, which delineates the pastimes in Dwarka, you find Sacha Bama's identity or connection or identity as expansion of Radharani very clearly delineated. In that particular story, you have Krishna. I don't want to give away the story, but Krishna is playing around trying to avoid the gaze of Rukmini before he gets married to Satyabhama and having an affair with Satyabhama. Anyway, it's all about that tonight. Very interesting. He's having this affair in a place called New Vrindavan. Not our New Vrindavan. Never Vrindavan, which means New Vrindavan. It's New Vrindavan. And they're doing all sorts of interesting things, like looking at pictures of their pastimes in Vrindavan. There's a whole segment there where they're actually looking at pastimes. Anyway, I don't want to give it away for tonight. So then Rupa Goswami, this later on was corroborated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who told Rupa Goswami that is a proper understanding, because there's a difference in mood between Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and those in Dwarka, so they have to be two different dramas. So in Vrindavan, it's intimate Madhurya, and in Dwarka, it's like majestic. There's some intimacy there, but it's not as much as Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy read the early drafts of Rupa Goswami's book, but the books weren't finished until many years later. The plays weren't finished. And these two are considered the most important dramatic literatures in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There's other dramatic literatures too. Like we're working right now on the Gopal Champu, which is also very dramatic. It's not exactly a play, but it's like a play within a play. What I mean is that it's a narration within a play. You have these two Snigdhakants, who are reciting Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan in Gokul. They're reciting the pastimes that Krishna enacted in Gokul on this earth planet, and they're reciting them to Krishna and Radharani in the spiritual world. It's pretty cool stuff. Anyway, and that you can go on the internet and find, maybe. That's on the internet. So, let's get that. When Srila Rupa Goswami went to Jagannath Puri. He did not go into the Jagannath Puri temple because he was respecting the system at that particular point is that if someone lost their caste, they weren't allowed to go in the temple. And it's described that because he and Haridas Thakur didn't go in the temple, and later on, of course, Sanatana Goswami didn't go in the temple, Lord Chaitanya would personally come every day and bring them prasadam. So in other words, Lord Jagannath would come to see them. And Prabhupada actually said one time when he was in Jagannath Puri, apart from the fact that Jagannath is Jagannath, not Purinath, he said, unless they let the devotees in, Lord Jagannath will come out of the temple and join us. And when the pandits heard that, they got scared that that was going to happen. And that's one reason they don't like us, Jagannath Puri. So many of them don't like us. So, except they like our money. So, anyway, so then Rupa Goswami got instruction from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he spent 10 months in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go back to Vrindavan and excavate the holy places, write Vaishnava literatures, etc. So on the way to Vrindavan, he was delayed for a whole year in Bengal because he wanted to take care of his family affairs before he left. This is also very important, too. You know, it's not just like this Western-style renunciation where you just drop everything off. And so he divided his wealth, gave them a sense of security. Then he went to Vrindavan, eventually, and he established the deity of Vrindadevi. The original deity of Vrindadevi was established by Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is different than the deity in Kamyaban. It's a different deity. Anyway, so then he was sitting by the Yamuna River one day and he was thinking, this is a very difficult task that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. You know, writing Vaishnava literatures, coming up with the Siddhanta, discovering the holy places and building temples. How am I going to build a temple when I don't even have a deity? So as he was thinking like that, a young boy approached him and asked him, what's the problem, Sadhguru? And he told the boy about his mission, and he said, I really want to build a temple to Radha and Krishna and establish systematic theology and a scholastic community. And the young boy said, just come with me. And he led him to a small hill. He said, inside the hill is a deity of Govindadevi that was established 5,000 years ago by, actually it was 4,500 actually, by Brajanabha, Krishna's great-grandson. And the boy said, every day a large cow comes by this place and showers her milk all over the hill. In this way, it seeps through, and Govindadev drinks the milk. That's his daily meal. Then all of a sudden, boom, the young boy just like evaporated or disappeared, or whatever. And Rupa came to that spot just to see if the cow did arrive, and he saw it happen every day. And he told all the villagers, and they dug in the hill, and they found the deity, this great deity, and he built the temple under the patronage of Akbar, the Mughal Emperor Akbar. And then convinced also Maharaj Bant Singh of Ambar, Jaipur, who donated huge quantities of red sandstone. Of course, later on, the temple was partially destroyed because this nice guy, Aurangzeb, saw the light of the temple all the way from Agra, where his capital was, and he got his men to destroy the top portion of the temple. They were to destroy the whole temple, but all of a sudden there was shaking of the ground. I guess Krishna was angry and they ran away. So the temple was partially destroyed. Very unique architecture in that temple. So, anyway, so that's how Govindadeva was established. And it's described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Rupa Goswami compiled many huge volumes of Vaishnava literature, 16, which are considered most important, and he wrote more than 100,000 verses. The most famous of his works are the Vidagdhamadava, Lalitamadava, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ushalini Lamani, Upadeshamrita, Act of Instruction, Dhanakeli Komadi, that's also available as a narration, and Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So it's described here, the inner guidelines and esoteric rasas for these dramas were divulged by Lord Chaitanya himself when he was at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, he, Lord Chaitanya, acted in dramatic performances for the pleasure of his devotees. So these dramas of Lord Chaitanya, so it is really important to understand, the dramas that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put on were actually serving as the inspirations for Rupa Goswami's dramas. And Dagda Madhava, we're not going to talk about right now. Lita Madhava, Ushalini Lamani, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we'll leave that for tonight. And just one final story. Rupa Goswami generally performed his bhajan in a place called Tedokadamba. That's right near Nandagram. Has anyone been there? Yeah. Too bad, isn't it? Sad. So, it's a very beautiful, quiet place. There's a great sadhu there. And they take the Radhakrishna deities outside. It's really beautiful. There's a canopy overhead there. It's just one of the nicest places, quietest places in Braj. So, he would do his bhajan there, and he would prepare kheer for his deities. And one day he was thinking, I want to prepare some nice prasad of some kheer and for Sanatan Goswami. So he was thinking, I don't have any ingredients. So then a young girl came, gave him the ingredients, and after giving him the ingredients, she disappeared. And he followed her directions because she told him how to cook it. Not only did she give him the ingredients, she told him, yeah, here's what you do, you boil it for so many minutes, you stir it as you're boiling it, and it became a condensed sweet drink. He offered it to his deity. Sanatana Goswami came and drank it, and after drinking it, he understood, where did you get the ingredients from this? And Rupa Goswami explained, and he told him this young, attractive girl, and Sanatana Goswami said, what did she look like? And Rupa Goswami began to describe what she looked like, and Sanatana Goswami said, this was Radharani. Don't you understand? You're not supposed to take service from Krishna and Radharani. You're supposed to serve them. So Rupa Goswami was told by Sanatana Goswami, never accept such gifts from anybody again. Because Krishna is always looking to serve his devotee. The devotees are always looking to serve him, so there's a competition between the two of them. So, anyway, so today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami, Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit is the spiritual master of Hriday Chaitanya, who is also known as Hriday Ananda, the first Hriday Ananda, and then Hriday Chaitanya, because Gauridas Pandit got angry at his disciple, who had a festival without his permission. And the disciple went away, Hridayananda went away, the deities followed him, and when the deities followed him, then eventually, Gauridas Pandit followed them, really angry with Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Hridayananda, and he had a stick in his hand, and the two deities jumped into the heart of Hridayananda, and Hridayananda later on got the name Hriday Chaitanya because of that. So that's Gauridas Pandit, who's Subal in Krishna's pastimes. So, and that's it. Where's the conch?
So, watch is a slight difference.
You're going to watch. Haribol, time to greet the deities.
We should put digital everywhere.
What?
Digital watches everywhere.
Yeah, this would be digital conscience. Okay, all
blessings.
Divine grace.